This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
On today's PropTech VC show, we are joined by Dimitri Themelis, the co-founder and CEO of the leading CRM for multifamily operators, Knock, and they've also raised $50 million plus in funding. Dimitri, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Really appreciate you having me.
As we were talking about how to describe Knock, CRM is a category people talk about, but you refer to it sort of as the front office operations. Tell us a bit about what that means. It's a very intriguing way to think about positioning a company.
Yeah, our core product is a CRM, but when we think about the future, at least within the multifamily vertical, there's a lot of technology used to manage complicated asset or portfolio of assets. And just kind of see a continued sort of bifurcation of the technology stacks into kind of back office and front office. And, our goal is to kind of be the leading bundle of, the best in class solutions for, the front office component of operating multifamily assets.
And, being a multifamily investor myself, and so many people I speak with almost on a daily basis are almost feeling like this is an industry which is heavily based on relationships, but people just are not very organized, and how they run things is a key to having a competitive advantage. So, Dimitri, tell us a bit about your background. What's been your journey to end up where you are today as the co-founder and CEO of a very fast-growing venture-backed company?
Yeah. So born and raised in Seattle, Washington, myself and the other co-founder, Tom Petrie, prior to Knock, both worked at the big global bank, UBS, and graduated with finance degrees in the middle of the financial crisis, right at the onset of the financial crisis. Pretty bad time to be a finance major, and, kind of hung on for dear life and into all that, but just saw a lot of, technology companies, over the past, 10, 20 years, redefine categories, and we both had an entrepreneurial bug. And so we founded Knock in 2014 with kind of the idea, really from our perspective, we didn't know much about property managers and multifamily operators. We only understood kind of the pain points in the customer journey from a renter's perspective, and had a lot of ideas for how we could maybe create a better journey, more streamlined customer experience for ourselves as renters. And then getting to know property management companies a little bit better, and kind of looking at how they were, what tools and technologies and processes and systems they had in place to kind of guide renters through their customer journey. We saw just a cool opportunity to fill a gap that just hadn't been filled before. And so that was kind of the genesis of Knock. We've been at it for a little over 7 years. I'm now serving over 2 million apartment units in the United States. So really excited about kind of where we've come. Still have a long way to go. And that's kind of the journey to today.
7 years. And so you wouldn't be what someone would describe as from the industry. You experience the pain point as a consumer.
Right. I would say we're constantly referred to as not from the industry, because we started, right as renters. Now, 7 years later, I think I've got like a double doctorate in multifamily. So I guess I can maybe claim that title, but as from the industry. But no, so much technology serving multifamily. Like as as an operator, you don't see a lot of horizontal software solutions having made their way into this vertical. It seems that most of the technology used by multifamily operators is kind of homegrown from within the industry, or people that saw pain points from within and solved them. And so I guess, to that extent, we are from the industry, but maybe a little bit unique in that we were kind of renters, not operators ourselves.
That story reminds me of one of our companies, Poplar Homes. They've also raised, over 50 million in funding. And they just were sick of being renters, and they wanted to basically create, a tech-enabled property management company, and they've now they're acquiring. They've acquired 10 plus different property management companies already, and they're doing a roll up. And, you know, these guys are just kids who met at college, literally, and were sharing rooms, and who would know that would fatefully lead them to where they are today. I also was in my industry. The last company I founded was in the advertising industry. And I think precisely because I didn't come from the industry, I didn't come with those biases. I just recognized that advertising really sucks. Mobile apps are taking off. Here's a chance to really build something that a user would appreciate. And lots of VCs wouldn't back us because we didn't have that, you know, industry experience that people look for.
Oh, yeah.
Did you find that too? You're nodding.
Yeah, definitely. I'm laughing because I recall a lot of those early conversations kind of being politely ushered out of the offices of, you know, potential investors because we, you know, didn't have any multifamily experience or we'd never founded a company before. And, you know, we'd always shut the car door and kind of go, well, how the hell is anybody supposed to build a company if you, you know, like how does any first-time founder get off the ground?
How did you then? I mean, how the hell did you even, you know, with all of that rejection and the fact that you said, right, first-time founder, not from the industry, but now look at where you are.
I think, I don't know, it's probably like a lesson I, you know, learned early on around fundraising. And I still tell to companies, like founders that I talk to all the time, I'm just cast a wide net. Like you never, you know, early on, like once you've got a track record and once you've got, you know, clear kind of operating metrics and audited financials and, you know, several years of growth and customers, like it's just a different, you know, it's a different investment. People investing in founders at the very beginning, you just never know what's going to resonate with an investor and who's going to get it and who's not going to get it, regardless of their background. And so I always just tell founders at the beginning, like, cast a wide net. Don't, you know, you just need to get money to fund your idea and get it off the ground. Don't overthink it. Just there's going to be someone that bites, right?
It's a sales process, ultimately. I don't know if you agree with that.
It's totally a sales process. And I'm just saying, start with a wide funnel, you know, put a lot of opportunities in.
You know, you sort of hinted to something that an observation I've had being in this industry, and I mean prop tech, right? A lot of the folks on the investor side come from operating roles in real estate. Now, I don't want to cast stereotypes on people, but real estate people are very different than tech people. And, you know, they tend to be very analytical and they don't really give up their facial expressions and emotions easily. So you might think you've lost someone and instead they've got their deal face on, you know?
Yeah.
And so the experience of pitching a prop tech investor can be very unsettling or different. Typically, right? Especially if the background is from like traditional real estate versus, you know, pitching like your you know, top tier VC or tech SaaS, you know, VC who really gets it and whatever. The real estate folks are much more quiet, listening carefully, analyzing, and you're trying to get a reaction from them. And it's almost like, you know, I see this when we sell properties. You have no, you know, the buyer comes to do a tour and you feel like they hate this place. This isn't going anywhere. And they turn out to have the highest offer and you're like, wow, I didn't expect that, you know?
Yeah.
Just something I find. I don't know if you, maybe it's just a stereotype. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think you're right that real estate investors are very different than tech investors. We found early on, I mean, obviously the trade-off is if you're pitching a prop tech company to a real estate investor, you know, they're going to understand the application of the technology. But, you know, there's not a lot of real estate investments that have like scale qualities to them, right? Like it's yield investing. You're not trying to do a 40x or a 100x. You're trying to do a, you know, 10% cash on cash return for a number of years, right? So it's just a different investment profile. But you know, I think that the trade-off is that people from within the industry, again, like they understand the application of the technology and the pain points. Whereas I think a lot of other investors who don't have experience in multifamily operations, like they don't understand things like the size of the vertical, the qualities of the vertical. They don't understand the nature of the pain points. They don't understand the competitive landscape and how, you know, unique it is. And so, I agree with your observation. It is different, but there's definitely some trade-offs.
Now, the advice to just get on with the process, go take the money if it's there. Don't overthink it, don't overcomplicate it. It sounds unintuitive because you also hear, be careful who you choose as your investors and shareholders. Mm-hmm. It's like a marriage, people say, because you can't fire your investors, but you know, theoretically they can fire you for sure. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think, you know, it depends. I mean, if you're talking about a bunch of $10,000 or $25,000 checks that you're kind of putting together in the beginning to get your idea, you know, your project on wheels, you know, I don't think you're giving, you know, not giving everybody a board seat and all of that good stuff. So I think you can be a little less picky when it comes to kind of seed type investing, if that's kind of the makeup of your round. Obviously, if you're talking to an institutional investor, then yeah, absolutely. It's like a marriage. And I think, you know, we've been very fortunate to have a string of good relationships, but I could totally see how, you know, I can appreciate how different things would be if you, you know, you pick a bad partner.
Now, how did you think about the composition of your investor group? Because were you able to make up for perceived weaknesses in, you know, lack of industry experience, for example? Did you bring in strategic, in quotation marks, strategic investors, or did you go straight for, like, you know, friends and family, angels, or did you go after the big VCs? I know you're backed by Fifth Wall too, but that's more of a recent thing. Talk to us about round composition, how to think about that.
Yeah, we did our first, we raised our first, let's see, I should recall that more quickly. We were already past 5 million in ARR by the time we took our first institutional investor on. So I think we were pretty late in terms of kind of company stage by the time they actually go take meetings with VCs. We intentionally avoided talking to venture capitalists. I think for a couple of reasons. One, we felt that like a venture profile investor, it's like very much like a scale oriented investment and looking for, you know, rapid growth. And, you know, in the early stages, like, we're very like product driven company, and we really wanted to make sure that we weren't going to be pressured. Like product market fit, we just felt like we really needed to have that nailed and dialed before we wanted a venture partner who was going to be kind of pushing us and helping us scale. And so early on, the composition of our rounds was, yeah, it was kind of the network and friends, kind of anybody who, you know, who would believe in us. But that included a lot of customers, like a lot of people that we'd go pitch and show demos and mockups to. A lot of real estate owners are pretty deep pocketed, you know, like seeing deal flow. They make, I think, they don't necessarily understand like tech term sheets and, you know, the, like, convertible note structures. You know, it's very different than like the types of terms that they're used to seeing in like a real estate investment. But they were fantastic investors in that they, you know, helped us achieve product market fit and really kind of dial in before we went to the venture community. And then when we went to the venture community, it was very intentional. We wanted to partner with somebody, like, again, as first-time founders, we had never scaled a company. So we wanted a partner who could help us think through and solve the kind of challenges that every company faces as it's trying to scale. And so I don't know if it just made sense to us at the time, and I think that still makes sense now.